Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Hey, don't call us if you don't have a problem. But if you do, and we all do, we all need a little assistance there. And so you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Joining me today, Dr. Sherry Keffer. She is the person. She's the ringleader. She's the grand poobah of women in the battle and other things. And so we're glad she's here. And Mylon Yurkovich.
Great to be here.
He is the one person with his wife, that makes two, that answered the big question, how do we love? And why do we love? And where does that come from?
And what do we do when our love bucket is stuck?
Yeah, that's true.
Dry.
And if you're the grand poobah, I'm the grand grandpa.
Grandpa.
Yeah, see, I'm the grandpa in the group.
You're not even a grandpa.
I have nine grandkids.
You don't look like a grandpa. Neither one of you guys look like grandpas. But
and I'm not yet, and I'm kind of grateful for that. We don't need to rush that.
That's right.
I was just saw Madeline last weekend, and so, yeah, take your time.
We got to have Madeline marry the right guy for her.
Absolutely.
She's a great lady.
She's taking her time. All right, so if you join Club New Life, and we're just going to mention this, Club New Life, well, we send you a tote bag, a coffee mug, a thumb drive loaded with five teaching segments from New Life TV, John Townsend's book, You Can Do This, and some note cards. If you're watching on TV, you can see a picture of those note cards from Israel, Poppies. And we would love for you to have that. That's our way of saying thank you. And for support of any kind, any amount, I'll send you the brand new book, Take Your Life Back. Rave reviews so far. Really excited about the reaction to that book. The first was Kim Dixon. She was the first one to read it, who wasn't associated with it. She said, I love it. And so I trust her word. It's lovable. If you need some help because the person that you love isn't lovable, Take Your Life Back would be a great place to go. Let's go right to the phones, and let's talk with Scott. He's calling us all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, and he listens online. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Hey, okay. I'll try to cut right to the chase.
Okay.
I feel a lot of guilt and anxiety, and a lot of it is, I guess, triggered from my past. I've been unfaithful to my wife. I have told her about that. I've also had a problem with just lying, and I still find myself wanting to just cover up. I've been in the church my whole life. I've listened to a lot of sermons, and just I feel like I've been a fraud and a fake, and I worry that I'm in that list of people mentioned the Bible.
Aww.
It talks about being turned over to I'm too far gone. That's what it feels like. And it's very upsetting. And I guess I would like, your advice. I prayed. I feel like I prayed the sinner's prayer many times. And I know you can't base everything on feelings, but, sometimes I wait for that still small voice. I wait for some confirmation of where I stand. That's the big issue. For me, everything else is trite.
Okay.
Heard of that. It just didn't
matter. Well, here's one thing I want to say in answer to your question of am I too far gone or your feelings that I'm too far gone. If you were too far gone, you wouldn't be making this call.
Mm-hmm.
Because people that are too far gone, they don't have regrets anymore. Where you're feeling pain and regret, they feel, oh, well, I was justified or I was entitled to that. And so there's great hope for you, and I want you to hold on. And I'm really, really glad that you called. So we'll take a break right now, and we'll come back. And anyone else, if you're struggling in this same way, we've got some hope for you. If you'll just stay tuned, we'll bring it your way. We'll be back.
Is there something or someone that continues to exert power over your life? Power that overwhelms your best intentions, sabotages your greatest efforts, and frustrates your deepest desires? No formula, set of keys, or steps will help you until you're able to take your life back. The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Orange County, California, October 21st through the 23rd. Steve Arterburn will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
On those days when we experience a setback or feel like a failure, we keep moving forward. And when we fall down, we get back up. If we get back up one more time than we fall down, we are doing all that God has asked us to do.
It's time to take your life back. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we are back. And Scott, I'm so glad you called. And Mylon, why don't you start us off here? You've you expressed some thoughts about this at the break. So listen to this, Scott.
Well, Scott, I'm sorry you're going through that. That is a miserable state of being, I want you to know. All the angst and guilt and worry and fear that you have is just off the charts, and I empathize with you on that. I've had times like that in my life where I've felt that level of tension inside, and I just want you to know that I empathize with you. But I want to know, and I'm not for the moment discussing the way you've acted out in your behaviors, but I just want to know how long the pervasiveness of worry, fear, obsessing, ruminating thoughts, sitting there spinning in your mind, how old were you when you first started doing that?
You know, it's kind of been, I don't remember it being like to this level, but when I was a young child, I can remember being afraid of talk about the rapture and the song being really played on me a lot when I was younger.
Okay. Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
I was exposed to pornography at a very young age, and I think that's always been there, working at times worse than other times.
Okay, so you take a child who worries and is fearful and is afraid he's going to get left behind in the rapture, and you start obsessing on that, and then you find yourself involved in pornography, and then that creates a guilt cycle and a pull and an attraction and guilt. And I think you've been stuck in this cycle for a very long time, and I think that's really important for you to keep in perspective. That this is something, and so I would want. Have you ever been to a doctor to talk about anxiety and slowing your brain down that way? Have you ever talked to anybody about anxiety with a professional?
No, I have not.
Okay,
just to a counselor, but not a like a psychiatrist or something like that.
Okay, well, I just want you to begin thinking about that, because what you're describing to me is a pervasiveness of worry and fear, and so we're hearing that today also. And again, I'm not bypassing or excusing the infidelity and the duplicitous nature of being the fraud and the fake up public and then privately something else. And the need to pray the sinner's prayer over and over and over again, I see a very fear-based person. And to begin to address the fear is really an important start.
One All of the right. things, Mylon, thank you for so eloquently opening this up, because I'm in that camp. I'm right on his shirt tail here with you, Scott, because this is what I'm wondering about. I'm sensing that you may have grown up with a dad who wasn't there.
Is that true,
you're
Scott?
Missing protection. You don't know that you're okay just as you are. You know, the is that true?
I think in some parts he I think early in my childhood he was alcoholic, and he was saved, and he was probably 32, so I was probably about 7.
Oh, my goodness.
But I still felt like there was some, I don't know that I was connected to him like I should have been. But
yeah, because
I thought he was, yeah.
With his alcoholism, he was shut down. He wasn't available to you emotionally. And so this longing deep in your heart to find that relationship, to have somebody to see you. And what it tells me about your brain, my friend, is you have a brain that has a predisposition towards addiction. Mylan picked up on that worry part of your brain, that part that gets over-focused. Your dad had probably a similar brain to that, and that's where the alcohol filled it. You've just found porn early on, and that was a gateway drug for you, which probably opened the door for you in sexual acting out, hence your affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Or affair. I don't want to make it plural, but you said affair and lying.
Yeah, multiple,
yeah.
Let me tell you, when a person, and we were dealing on another program, or was it this program? It was another program where there was a child exposed to pornography early
at
on.
At 6.
When you're exposed to pornography early on, you just have to accept the fact that you are sexualized way too young for healthy sexual development. And so it's kind of like anything goes once that happens. And you have to come to a place where rather than tell yourself, oh, well, this is just who I am, or this is natural, or you know, whatever, you have to say, you know what, I've got to get into some real help to kind of reprogram my whole life if I want to have freedom from this. And that's what we can help you do. I wish you would let us do that. And we can also help you and your wife really find a different level of being together and intimacy together if, you know, you're willing to do the work. I think, you know, people, they wonder about themselves, and then they finally, one day, decide to do something. And I hope that that's the point that you're at right now. Anything else you want to say, Mylan or Sherry?
Well, the missing piece here is the question we usually ask is, what have you done? Because you sound like a very isolated soul to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, I'm not hearing things like, well, I'm in a recovery group with other men and I'm working on my sobriety and I got guys that I can call. You're in this position where you're saying, I'm just kind of waiting to see where I stand. I know you don't want to lose your wife because it's the same abandonment you felt early on. But what are you doing to recover and to stop acting out?
Yeah, I did go to Celebrate Recovery for a time. The only issue with that is it's male and female, and my wife was very bothered by me showing up to the big group, which is both. So I need to find just a male group, I think, to participate in. And I also have had some pastoral counseling and was given some scriptures to read. And I told my pastor, when I read the Bible, I read a lot of stuff that condemns me because the list of people that it talks about shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, there's a checklist there. I'm done with
that. Okay, but
that.
Look here. Look, buddy. Scott.
You forgot about David, my friend.
Yeah.
You forgot about David.
Exactly. Just reading your Bible, can you see how that would be like a reductionistic view of problems in general? Here you have this soul that is just,
tormented.
Yeah. And you're saying, let me read some scripture. Let me go to just a little group here. You need to get in with somebody that's trained so that when you finish working with them, you're feeling different about so many things in life. But you got to do the work. It's not going to be reading scripture, memorizing scripture. Those are good things, but they have to be part of a comprehensive plan. And sadly for you, one of the most valuable identifying aspects of our life, sexuality, is what was geared up, turned on, flipped on way, way too soon for you in a way that is totally destructive. Now, I want you to hold on. I'm going to send you Every Man's Battle. I hope that that's going to be of help to you, and I'm going to send you the book, Take Your Life Back. It's going to help you get through this so that this doesn't own you anymore. And boy, you're a great example of somebody that is owned by something.
Steve?
Now, let me... Yes, sir. Go ahead, Milo.
I need to say something that will hopefully encourage Scott and the rest of our listening audience. 30 years ago, I turned to my wife one day and I said, I now recognize for the first time in my life that I'm a fear-based person.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning to me taking my life back.
Yeah.
And Scott is in the same boat. He is a very fear-based person,
yeah.
And all of us have to face the truth about ourselves. And that was a turning point in my life.
You know, at the point in my life where I experienced the most pain, I was most devastated, Mylon, the pain, I came to understand it was fear.
Mm-hmm.
It was so weird for me to come to grips with, after a while, it wasn't initial at all, that intense fear can be pain, searing, soul-hurting pain.
Right.
And so if you're like us and you're fear-based, well, you've got to become faith-based. You don't just do that by reading a verse and memorizing it. You've got to do some work there. And I hope and pray that you'll do that work. God's got a lot in store for you. Now, let's go to Josh from Washington, D.C., listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hello, Josh. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you
so
much for taking my... Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
In listening to some of the conversation just now, I feel like I've been inspired a little bit, but I'll get to that in a minute. The reason I called is my partner of 4 years or so, recently has shared with me that they feel on the inside like they are a man.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as a Christian, I don't know whether I can stay with this partner with some of my fear, honestly, my fear of the rapture, my fear of not living right by God, my fear of how my family will judge me, my fear of society's judgment. These are things that are really impacting me and sort of confusing me, because I want to stay with this person. I love this person inside and out, whether they're a man or a woman. And I think that so much of what I know about God and my own faith is in conflict with that. And so I guess I'm looking for something that can push me towards what my heart wants.
Okay, now here's something that I just want to share with you, Josh. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
This isn't like your as you say, partner tells you one day, you know what, I think I'm a vegetarian, right? This is a pretty big deal, okay?
It is a big one.
Okay, so like if your partner... Like, let's just say you were raised on a cattle ranch, and your partner says, you know, I think I'm feeling like I just want to be a vegetarian the rest of my life. Well, you might say to them, oh, hey, I love you. Let's hang in there. Let's work this out, even though I love steak. But this is like on the other end of the spectrum between carnivorous and vegetarianism. Okay. So,
sure.
So the question is, did you say to your partner, well, wow, this is so major, you sure ought to get a consultant to take a look at those feelings, see where they come from, and what you ought to do about that? Or are you just going to say, well, if this is what my partner feels, it must be real. She should go with it. She should act on it. Because that's what the world says. Any kind of feeling, we just need to go with it. Now let's hear from Mylon and Sherry. Those are just my off-the-wall thoughts.
You were going to respond.
Being a vegetarian.
Yeah, you were going to respond with something. What was it, Josh?
Oh, well, you know, I think that's an interesting way of looking at it. I guess in my my relationship feels so, I feel so connected to my partner that you know, I know that my partner, there were things that I maybe could have noticed that start to add up, you know, when you're with someone for 4 years, when they tell you something like this, obviously now I understand it can sound like it's out of the blue, but, you know, there were signs. And I think for me, it feels authentic and it doesn't feel like an impulse. And I don't think it was something that he came to overnight or impulsively. While I understand that is how it could feel or appear. But I understand, and yes, I do think he should seek counseling in terms of how to understand, sort of the internal conflict within him, maybe, about who he is and who society wants him to be, and who he really is. But for me,
so
I guess,
I trust. Yeah. Okay. So you're already essentially saying that she is a he based on the feelings. Is that right?
Well, I want to respect my partner in the sense
okay.
that...
Okay, all right. We'll be back after this.
We came here. It was our last resort. We're going to go through counseling. They're going to find her problems, and I'm fine.
The Marriage Solution Weekend is coming to Orange County, California, October 21st through the 23rd.
Obviously, I'm not fine.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and the different ways that we love, and what is it that destroys our love. And how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about the seven things that you need to stop right now, the seven things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The biggest thing I got out of this is that I got things to work on, too.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Okay, we're talking right here with Josh. And, okay, so Mylan and Sherry had some thoughts here at the break. I want them to share it with you there, Josh. So,
but can we get a quick question? What yeah. is it that, yeah. why? What are you wanting from us? What did you call to ask?
And that's a good question. I feel like when I called, I was almost more conflicted. As I sat on hold and heard your last call about being fear-based, I don't know. I guess it may have made me a little bit more empowered than I felt when I called, but I certainly want, I guess, what perspective, how should I be afraid? Should I worry if this is real? If this is my partner, if they're not confused, if this is who he is or she is, am I living in sin by remaining with them? I guess it's very confusing, obviously, me, but I'm very protective of my partner in the sense of it's hard for me to want to just say it's not okay because I love this person.
I really hear that love, Josh. And I could see why you'd be confused with all the who, what, why, where, whens that are coming out of your mouth all at the same time. It is very distressing. And if you really did love this female and she all of a sudden says, I really do feel like a guy on the inside, that would confuse anyone. Or if it was reversed in the opposite direction, it would be very confusing, very distressing, and quite alarming, I think, for any of us. And what do we do about it? It's interesting, and I do, we do want to go on record as saying, you talk about living in sin. If you were to allow them to make their choice, the issue is you call this woman your partner, and yet you're living together, and yet we know that God says marriage is something that's to happen between two people, and it is in the state of marriage that we're to cohabit. And so that is something you really need to stop and think about, you know, because you have mentioned the sin card several times here. I just have to drop that one down and say that's something okay. God calls very sacred. And my question is, why haven't you gotten married in 4 years? And but I realize that's not your question today, but I do feel we need to put that on the table.
Okay.
Sherry, what were you going to say?
You know, I want you to be conflicted. I don't want you to move out of your anxiety or fear too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why. Because there are a lot of pieces to this puzzle. If I was to sit down with your partner, who is now asking you to call her a he, and I was to go back in her history and start doing some good old-fashioned trauma work, where I started hearing, listening for things that might influence her confusion, mm-hmm. her gender confusion over time, I could almost guarantee there's a belief inside of her that she's different and she doesn't belong. She doesn't fit. And I would say that got laid in very early. And she is trying to find herself. And if it means that she needs to change her identity in order to try something underneath it, she's being driven to answer some question mm-hmm. of her difference. And this is the stake she's putting in the ground to try to hold on to something so that she can calm down inside.
Sherry, to that point, as a male, quote unquote, if I were to be a male, yeah. I would be more of something, perhaps.
Say more.
Well, if I was a male, I would be more powerful. I would have more strength.
Yes.
I would have the
yes.
ability to something, which is your point. What is the thing that
What's
is inside of her? What is that driving force?
Underneath
well,
and, that.
And let's just acknowledge that what we're saying here, nobody's going to tell you. Outside of a Christian perspective.
Right.
They're going to tell you, oh, no, this doesn't have anything to do with feeling like an outcast in any other area. No, this doesn't have anything to do with feeling powerless
right.
in some other area, and so it affects my sexuality, or I think it affects my feelings about my gender. If you want some insight into this, you and your girlfriend ought to Google transgender regret, transsexual regret, and see some of the people that have gone on to have a sex change, full-on anatomy change, hear some of the stories of regret, believing that that was going to fix it, and it did not fix it.
So I've done some research, and I appreciate that this is something that there's a lot of stakeholders invested in, or seemingly there's a lot of stakeholders mm-hmm. in the world that want us
right.
to view these issues in one way or another. And,
but you said you didn't care about the stakeholder. You wanted to know what was right. And you
know,
truth sometimes counters feeling. And I was just doing our conference this past weekend telling the folks, your feelings have a point, but they aren't the point. And when we are driven by feeling, we're not in control. We are reacting to feelings versus responding to truth, responding to a sense of deprivation that needs to be fixed, sense of alienation that needs to be corrected. That's responding versus reacting.
But there is a union that you have with her, Josh, that has caused you to abandon the very core faith that you have. So you have something too.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Okay, so Sherry, you're going to finish up with Scott here. Give him a couple things
Josh
to think about.
Hey, Josh. Hey, Josh. So the beauty of life is you get to choose. The beauty of life is you're in the driver's seat of your car. But I would be doing some deeper work because it's not something we're going to be able to unpack in a few minutes on a show. But my hunch with you is that you weren't seen, you weren't heard, you weren't acknowledged, and you met her, that you met your partner who's now saying, "Please call me him." And there was some union. It's like her brokenness of "I don't belong" and your brokenness of I'm not really, "I don't belong" and "I'm not seen" and "I don't matter." Something brought you two together. And I just think that that's part of the tenacity which has kept you together in the midst of all of those flags that you saw along the way. But here we are, and you're having to make some choices about whether you want to stay with her. And I want you to not negate the red flags along the way. Because if you both are wounded and you're finding each other in some pain, that pain is going to stay, whether she changes her sex or not. And so...
Lives in a transgender place
or stays female but says, "I'm a male." And it's like she's looking at you. She met you as a male. There's something she wants from you. And you were attracted to her as a female initially, right?
Yeah.
But...
love doesn't mean I accept everything. Love can be too accepting, quote unquote. Love doesn't mean I accept everything you say. And I think it's important for us to, or that another person says, "I love this person." Sometimes love means I can say no, or what does that mean? Or let's investigate that. Or something's not acceptable here. Let's explore it. And love needs to have more courage associated with it. I'm currently reading a book called A Failure of Nerve. And it is about the fact that sometimes people don't know how to speak up when they love someone. And that's an important piece of the puzzle. You use the word puzzle. Yeah. I like that. There's, so it's a big important. One.
Love doesn't mean I have to abandon. Love means I can choose to stay with you or not. That doesn't mean I have to abandon you.
Correct.
I just may change course,
yeah.
but still have yeah. you as a dear, dear person. But you get to choose, right? But know if you choose this, you're going to be living with some confusion and some underlying pain for quite some time.
Well, it's possible that she could even live as a guy and confusion will exist the rest of her life.
Right.
Yep, so, that's right. Okay, so I'm going to send you, take your life back. I hope it's helpful. I think it will be, even in this situation. But right now we're going to go to Marie from Garden Grove, California, listening on KKLA. Hi there. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I have a strained relationship with my 22-year-old son.
Okay.
And he lives with my mom when he comes back from college. Anyway,
why is that? Why does he live with her when he comes back from college?
Because I had to kick him out when he was 20 because he was drinking and doing drugs and having sex with his girlfriend. And I had my daughter at the time who was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And she was hearing everything that he was doing. So I told him to go live with my mom.
Okay.
While he was on break. And anyways, my daughter just told me, because he still has a relationship with my daughter, that my mom put him on her will and he's getting her house.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I don't know how to bring it up, because my daughter doesn't want me to tell my mom that I told her, because that would ruin her relationship with her brother, and I don't want that.
What happened to you and your mom? What happened to you and your
question,
mom?
Great question, Steve.
You guys are so distant from each other.
We're distant because I don't. A lot of things happened when I was growing up, and I don't have very much. I don't spend that much time with her or my brother because of the things that happened.
Like what? What happened?
I had abuse from my stepdad. And I had my brother who did he did a lot of things with like having relationships with men that did me harm in the past.
So if that wasn't enough damage, she's just going to take over raising your son without consulting you and doing whatever she thinks is best. Not best for him, but certainly it seems like in spite of you. Otherwise, she'd be leaving you that house.
Well, she has told me that she's leaving me things as well. I'm just concerned with, because she's not in good health, that my son, the friends he has, I just think that if he has that money at his hand, it's just going to cause more of a rift in our relationship, and it's not ever going to be solved. And I don't know what's going to happen as a result of him having that much money at 22 years of age.
Well, you already know what's going to happen, because whatever he's been given, you've said he's been extremely irresponsible in his life, so much so that he has to go live with your mother.
Right. So I'm just worried about I'm worried about what's going to happen to him in the future because of what she's doing.
Right. Okay, so let's hear from Sherry and Mylon and see what they're thinking about this. Guys, what do you think?
You know, life, Marie, is about ruptures and repairs.
At least it should be.
Well, it should be. And our spiritual life, Steve and Sherry, our spiritual life is based upon rupture and repair. That's what the gospel is. We're ruptured and separated from God, and because there's something wrong. And yet the issue is addressed, a bridge is built, love is offered, and we walk across a 12-inch wide blood-stained beam to have a relationship with God. In other words, there's boundaries associated with the repair. But a repair, nonetheless, is created. So I just want, the thing that strikes me here, Marie, is he's 22-year-old son, but he was having problems at 20 years old is when you kicked him out. And I'm just thinking about the possibility of repair with everyone in the family. your mom, your son, your daughter, and that there would not be these separations and triangles and webs of deceit and secrecy, but that there could be repair. Your mom is in failing health, and this could be a fabulous time to go to the drawing board, put everything on the table, and have someone, if you can't do it yourselves, a professional, help you create a repair and have an entirely different life from this point on.
Because the separation is so distinct, and her failing health could be the perfect excuse to make that bold move and say and talk about.
Well, why do we have to tolerate ruptures ad infinitum or for the rest of our lives? They don't have to be there.
Right. And, you know, oh, my goodness. This is one of the things I talk about in Take Your Life Back. Their people, their whole life is living up against a grudge.
Hmm.
Something that happened so long ago. And here are three people living up against what happened to this woman on the phone with us in her childhood with a stepfather and a brother and all these things. If you don't resolve those ruptures, they just get worse. And rupture, unresolved rupture, leads to terminal regret. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
But there's resolution. You can get that. Sherry, any thoughts here before we go on?
I do. I have a lot of compassion for you. And it just sounds like relationships with men have been
horrible.
Unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what happened with your birth father. But when I look at your history and I look at how unsafe it was with your stepfather, how unsafe it was with your brother, and how unsafe it is with your mom, that she doesn't see you, doesn't believe you, you might feel really helpless right now to know how to dig your way out of the ruptures, right? Because it seems like there's so many around you. But Mylan and Steve pointed you there, but I want to point you back to something that Mylan said about walking across this bloodstained beam. And if you can look at that with your mom and realize that it may be that you've got to have the courage to walk across that bloodstained beam with your mom and let her know you're hurt and that you really do want to repair and that you were hurt when she didn't see you and didn't believe you when your stepfather acted out on you or when your brother acted out on you with your friends. I feel for you, and if I could walk that bloodstained plank with you, I would.
I believe that.
I would.
I believe that about you, Sherry.
Yeah, I would.
I want to ask people to pray for Marie.
Yeah.
It's so much deeper than the issue of the house.
It is. And Marie, I want you to find someone like me. I want you to find someone like us. I want you to get into a group where you can have these people that are locking arms with you to help you be brave and take that step to connect with your mom, because that's the only way you're going to be able to have a conversation about what's really worrying you about your son.
Okay. Final segment coming up. We'll be back.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed that if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. We're back. Okay, here we go. Now.
Yes.
I was waiting there.
That was command.
I just thought, do I go to a call or do this? Okay,
oh, I thought you were ready to say something powerful because I was like, what is Steve going to say?
Well, this is powerful. Dave Stoop and I talk about the healing power of laughter on one of these programs, this program, on tv.newlife.com. Listen to this. The children who lack adult models for the use of humor as a coping resource in the face of challenges are less likely to activate their sense of humor to cope with everyday life when they grow up. In other words, you have to model this to your children if you want them to have a long and fulfilling life. Now, the good news from the study is that you can learn to embrace the absurdity of life at any age. I've said this many times. When things happen, I try to look for the Lord. Where's God working here? The lesson, what could I learn from it? And the laughter. Where is their laugh? Now, some things are not laughing matters, but most of the stuff that happens to us, you can find some way to say a second look. And they also, we've seen over and over again that when you're grieving the loss of a loved one, humor, looking back at their life, laughing at certain things that they...
At the memories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is very healing, and it is not disrespectful one bit.
Well, here's the reality. No one dies laughing. Laughing is one of the most healthy things that you can possibly do. There's a whole program on this. I was speaking at Focus on the Family last week at the Family Life Today Step Family, and I was saying if you want to be a great stepfather, a bonus father, you have to bring humor with you. Well, if you're not funny, there are only a billion ways that you can create humor and the bonding of humor, looking at funny videos and clean comedians and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, it's a great program. You can get it at tv.newlife.com. I hope you will. It will help you see the value and the healing power of humor.
So, Steve, right? I just took my mom to the Caribbean for 80th birthday. Surprised
nice.
Her. We
nice.
Went swimming with the dolphins. Okay,
I love
so
that.
I have this 80-year-old woman who's clinging on to me for life. She's got a life vest on, but she doesn't trust her vest, and her legs and body keep coming out in front. She keeps floating, and the dolphins can't even come up to her because she just keeps her whole bottom and body and legs just keep floating to the surface. And so we're cracking up while this is happening. And I had that thought go through my head, is someday I'm going to be there when she passes, and it's going to be her funeral. And you know what photo I'm going to have there?
That one.
I'm going to have that one.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
We just had such a great time, and we'll have a lot to laugh about while we're in memory of her.
Mm-hmm.
But we can live life backwards that way.
That's
we
right.
can make these things yeah. happen, so we have things to...
And you know what you call that?
What, Mylan?
You call that the porpoise-driven life.
Okay, here we are.
Are we talking about laughter?
Okay, yeah. But you know what else? You know what else it does?
It Even our says, guests in the studio are yeah. laughing right now at Mylan. They're so cute.
But when you show that picture at her funeral, it helps when you show that picture at the funeral because it says, hey, this is more than about death here. This woman mm-hmm. isn't just dead.
Yeah.
She had life
yep.
and love and laughter, and that's what laughter can do. Our final call, and if you're on the line, hold on. We'll try to get to you at the next program. We're going to do one right after this. But let's go to Terry from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station. Hi, Terry.
Good afternoon. It's almost 3 o'clock here in Pittsburgh. First of all, I just want to thank God
for you people,
aww,
for giving people a hope shot. And the reason that I'm calling is I've been listening to the program. I hear a lot of pain, and I just want people to know that I have over 23 years of recovery.
Wow.
From crack addiction, gambling, marijuana, alcohol, womanizing. And it all came from going to meetings with like-minded people and the Life Recovery Bible.
Hmm. Wow.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Well, these 12 steps, I'm going to start crying.
Aww.
Oh, my goodness.
12 steps will draw you so close to our Savior, but you have to be saved.
Mm.
You
Amen.
Have to be saved.
Yeah.
See, I believe that people can be healed instantly if that's what God wants.
Yeah.
But then he takes people like me on a journey. And this journey is wonderful. And it has valleys in it. But you have to keep on keeping on. You have to go to meetings. Here in Pittsburgh, we have many 12-step Christian meetings. But I would encourage your listeners to go to Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. And for these family members, there's Al-Anon, Nar-Anon.
Yeah.
There's
hey, Terry.
For these people.
Terry.
Yeah.
Terry. Yeah. I'm going to send you a copy of my wife's talk she did at our Life Recovery Conference, because she says in those talks that the secular meetings, now this is a conference about Christian recovery meetings, and she says secular meetings have a place and we need to take our place in those secular meetings. Mm-hmm. And I think I'll send you a copy of it. I think you'll love it.
And Terry, I want to mention one thing to you. If God had ordained that the Bible that he inspired would continue have been written, I'm confident there would have been the book of Terry. And we would have all read it like, not this guy. There's no way. And then we would see God come through. So thank you for your testimony. When you share your testimony, we just kind of, it pulls our soul up and it gives us hope that it's possible. So thank
Amen.
You.
And anybody go ahead.
Can I
one
take
final
20
thing.
More seconds?
20 more.
20 more
yep.
seconds.
Do it.
Okay. People, listen. These secular meetings, you'll get the milk. The Christian meetings, the Life Recovery Bible, you'll get the meat. Keep on keeping on.
So
well
great.
Said.
Amen.
Well,
so great.
I'm going to send you a copy of the brand new book, Take Your Life Back. And just hearing that testimony, I'm going to send you a copy of that 365-day devotional. I think you will love it. It'll be a great guide for your recovery.
I wish he was my sponsor. I want a Terry to be my sponsor. I bet
she's
sponsoring a number of people, but what a great person.
Now, when we come back, we're going to do another program in a little bit. Marge, you hang on. You're going to be our first caller there. I'm sorry I couldn't get to you. She's been hanging on a long time. But if you need some help, we want to help you. And Take Your Life Back is now one of our intensive workshops, and that's on October the 21st in Southern California. And if you're struggling with depression or anxiety, you have tremendous shame, or maybe you just feel like you're under the control of somebody, somebody's pulling your strings like a puppet. We're going to help you cut those strings so that you can live the life that's fulfilling and free that God wants you to live. It's Take Your Life Back. It's October 21st, and right alongside it is our Marriage Solution Weekend, which has been such a blessing to so many people. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you all about it. And then don't forget also Sherry, her Women in the Battle Workshop is in Washington, D.C., and that, I believe, is November the 11th.
Yes,
yeah.
And don't
November
wait.
November the 11th.
Come
yeah.
be with us. We want
Please.
To help you heal yourself and your marriage.
In the meantime, please call. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest, and we would love it. And then November the 4th, also, Every Man's Battle, that workshop. Now, I'm going to be out there in Morristown, Pennsylvania, First Choice Women's Resource Center on the 20th, and then I'm going to be at the Pastor event at Little Creek there in Chicago, in Illinois, October the 27th. Would love to see you there. Hey, have a great day. Maybe join us tomorrow for let's see. I'll talk about that later. Anyway, God bless you. Love you. Appreciate you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.